Greetings and salutations, you kinky fucks. Welcome back for another episode of Kinks with Kiki. This is a special episode this week, guys. There will be no S&M, aka Song and Mood of the Week. I won't really go into my week this much, as much this week, because like I said, this is a special episode. Definitely an episode I have been looking forward to doing for about a year and a half now. So I'm so happy that it's finally coming to fruition. I'll keep it quick. I'll keep it brief. This introduction I've been definitely planning for a long time because I've been excited to do it. I've been excited to say it. I know a lot of you listeners know exactly who this person is that I'm about to introduce. So I know when you hear me say the name, you are going to completely lose it. So I was introduced to this person like a lot of you all were when a clip of her went viral on Twitter where she was at her homecoming, her college homecoming, with a white older gentleman. And he was on a leash. Now, originally, the tweet, I guess the person who tweeted it said that this was, she brought, like, I think they said she brought, like, her sugar daddy or something with her to her homecoming. But in actuality, it was her sub. Mm-hmm. So you've probably seen her recently on Sex Sells on Fuse. Shout out to Weezy from Horrible Decisions. You've probably heard or read her features in the New York Times, Paper Magazine, BuzzFeed, just to name a few. As a huge fan, I have been able to witness the growth of her brand and the founding of some of the most, to me, the most important entities in the Black and Afro POC community for BDSM. I'm so excited. So, ladies and gentlemen, you kinky fucks, without further ado, I would love to introduce the chocolate dom herself, Mistress Marley. How are you, love?
Hi, everybody. I'm doing well. That was an amazing introduction.
Oh, thanks.
Yes, I didn't realize how long in the making this has been, a year and a half.
Wow. Yes, I am a whole fan here, so I have been excited. you are my second official guest, so thank you so much for that. I decided finally after 3 years of this podcast that I would begin to have guests that were outside of my comfort zone, because not only just my circle, it's not just my circle that knows everything about, you know, BDSM and the lifestyle. There are other people who are, I consider, experts who know way more about specific topics than I do. So I'm doing that now. So how has your week been so far?
My week has been pretty good. I just got back from Atlanta yesterday. We had a huge goddess brunch out there. And we also did the Black and Kinky ATL party. So I had two major events.
Oh, wow.
Two major events that have been very big for my brand and have, like, you know, helped the growth of my brand. And I got to take it down to Atlanta for the first time.
Congratulations. I have a section, because I love everything that you are doing to help grow your brand, what you're doing for the Black BDSM community. So I am going to give you a portion of the episode to talk about everything that you have. I know, you know, about Black Dom Sorority. I know about the Sex Academy. I know these things, but I know I probably have a few listeners who aren't aware of it. I've had people tell me that because I've talked about you on the show, they were like, oh, I went to her page and she's awesome. I've had some women who, even in my group chat for the podcast, that said that they joined the sorority. So I'm super excited to give you I want to give you the reins to talk about that a little later in the show, just everything that you have going on.
Perfect.
Okay. So my first question, now I know the answer. Again, I'm a fangirl right now. I know the answer to this question, but I would love for you to explain to everyone, how did you get your name?
So Marley came from back in college. I was a stripper. So I was auditioning for a exotic dancer position at the strip club with one of my best friends at the time in college. And before we went on stage, you know, the guy, he was like, you didn't give me a name. So I really just shouted out Marley. So there's really no significant behind it. It just happened to come up. And then I gave myself the name Mistress Marley after I, you know, it had a nice ring to it. And, you know, a mistress in the BDSM community is seen as someone that is a teacher, educator. So it just happened to work out perfectly.
Oh, that is awesome. I think I listened to you. It might have been on Cocktails, and I think that's when you explained it. But I thought that was just so fascinating. Okay, so as I, too, am a North Carolinian, I'm from a very small town, nowhere near anywhere. But because I know where you went to college, I did want to ask, and I only feel like, honestly, the only people who are going to know this question are like North Carolina natives or residents. Did you, when you tried out, was it Capital Cabaret?
Yes, it was.
I thought it was like, listening to you when you were talking about the strip club and like the whole vibe. I used to live in Raleigh. I just moved back from Raleigh, actually. But okay. I lived there about maybe 5 or 6 years ago for a few years. And I remember going to Capital Cabaret and I was like, I think that's what she's talking about, but I'm not sure.
Yes, definitely Capital Cabaret.
Yes. I love that. Okay, so I think that's a good enough, you know, icebreaker. I just wanted to, you know, let you talk about your week and what you've had going on. And I had to ask you about your name because, like, that whole story, I love that story so much. But I just want to go ahead and get started. So I do want to start off by asking you, when did you realize you wanted to become a part of, like, the lifestyle? What sparked it exactly?
What sparked it for me was when I was, well, so I live in New York now and I moved to New York for grad school. And what interested me was when, you know, after grad school, trying to find a job and taking on odd jobs, I found this job on Craigslist for a hostess at a swingers club. And of course, being an Aquarius, I'm like, why wouldn't I do that?
Yes, an air sign.
Yeah, do things that people see as taboo. So I went and got the job same day. And, I really got introduced to the lifestyle of swinging and all these different things that were going on, from people being whipped in there and people being with their partners being tied up and so many kinky things going on. And at the time, there was a lady that worked in Coat Check that was a dominatrix. She was older, so she was a retired dominatrix. But, you know, on our breaks, we would have, like, talks about, you know, BDSM and things of that nature. And my only knowledge of BDSM was 50 Shades of Grey and, you know, things that I've seen on TV that aren't necessarily good perceptions of it.
Yes.
But it kind of just sparked my interest. And then I started doing my own research, but then I kind of fell off with the research. And then one day I fell down on my luck and I Googled, like, how to make money as a woman online, and I found FinDom, financial domination. So ever since then, it's just been like history.
That's dope. And I love how it kind of just worked out in, like, completely in your favor. And that is, like, that's awesome to me. Like, honestly, I love that. Okay. So the next question that I wanted to ask you was, as at this point we are aware that you are fully a dominatrix. Is there anything else, any other type of identity, role, or title that you identify as?
I'm a dominatrix. I'm a kink educator. I am a community organizer for sex workers. Overall content creator. Used to be a fashion designer.
Yes.
Yeah, so I went to school for 5 years for fashion. So my background is deeply in fashion. Just really consider myself a jack of all trades. Event curator. I love throwing events. Just a lot of different things.
That's awesome. Again, like I said, I'm just here fangirling because I'm already aware of all of this anyway. It's just, I just love hearing you
just talk about it. First of all, I stand because you are obviously a Black woman. I stand even more. You're a Southern Black woman and you're into the lifestyle just like I am, and you're professional and you're thriving in it. So I have to keep giving you your flowers.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay, so the next question I actually wanted to ask you was, outside of being a dominatrix, I wanted to talk to you about financial domination. So I have literally held off from this conversation because I knew I wanted it to be only with you. Like, mm-hmm. I knew, like, typically I do my episodes solo, but I knew for this particular episode, I'm like, no, I really, really genuinely want to talk to a professional about it, because this is a part of the lifestyle that I'm not too versed in. So I've held out. Like, people have been asking me, like, are you ever going to do an episode on financial domination? I was like, I will, but I'm not doing it alone. I have to have an expert. And I knew no one would be better than Mistress Marley. Mm-hmm. So if you could, in your own words, explain to me, as well as the listeners, what is financial domination?
So financial domination is a psychological kink that involves the submissive handing over their money, giving cash gifts, giving tributes, doing cash meets, wallet drains to the dominant party.
Oh my gosh. Like, I've seen your pictures and I'm always so baffled by your pictures, because I'm like, yes, I stand. This is everything. But I have to ask, I knew you said you Googled basically how to make money as a woman. So how did you get your first step into financial domination? Was there did you do any training? I know you said you were talking with the dominatrix that was at the Swingers Club. Did you kind of just go out on a limb and be like, you know what, I think they'll be here, they might be here, or did they gravitate to you? Like, did you make a name first? How did you go about getting started in financial domination?
So I kind of did all those things. Like, I went out on a limb. I had my name. I made a Twitter page, because Fendom is mostly popular on Twitter.
Okay.
I made a Twitter page. I started making content for financial domination, which was going out to eat and taking a picture of the receipt and saying, reimburse me. I started basically just diving into it with no help or nothing. I mean, there were a lot of doms that I tried to reach out to for help that were very cold and very mean. And okay. most of them were white doms, which is why I eventually started Black Dom Sorority, so that, you know, other Black and Afro-Latino women wouldn't have to go through that. But I really just jumped into it on my own, just really started teaching myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love how everything just kind of organically came to you. I feel like this is your path and your lane, because it kind of just fell in your lap so organically.
Right.
Now, okay, as a dominatrix, I've seen, some of your videos, I've heard you talk about it and everything. I've seen you I've seen you sitting on guys' faces, playing your Nintendo Switch. And I have to ask you, do you have any personal specialties as a dominatrix that you do to your subs that are unique to you specifically? Is there anything that is kind of your signature words or signature motions? Is anything in particular that you do specifically for your subs that's unique to you?
I work a lot on reparations and making sure white subs are paying Black women what they're due. And
yes.
And I just work a lot with mind control and luxury dominance, and really just letting them know that I love to be spoiled. I can be a bit bratty.
Same. I want to ask you, I'm going to ask you about the alternate side of the spectrum of BDSM a little later, but it's interesting that you brought up that you were bratty. And I got that vibe, seeing some of your videos, I definitely get that. So Oh my God, that's so cute. Okay, so I'm going to jump topics really quickly. Again, I'm a fan. So there are some things just, you know, me doing my research and me just being a fan and following your career and everything. I seen that you did the truth or drink game with your parents on the Cuts YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And I find that it was like, I've heard you talk about like your parents being aware of what you do professionally, everything. And I think that's just amazing. I love that you have supportive parents, more importantly, supportive Black parents. And I don't know if your parents are originally from the South, but I'm like, Southern Black parents that are this supportive of something that's this alternative and this taboo is amazing. So I wanted to ask you, how has it been going with your parents now? Like, your success is growing even more. So how are they handling you and like your fame and just your growth as a pro dominatrix?
They're handling it pretty well. I think their main priority is just making sure that I'm good as a person. So yeah. I'm still their daughter before I'm a pro dominatrix. So a lot of the things is just really, you know, them checking in on me, them being supportive of my events, asking how my events went, like how things were, how like I'm building and things of that nature. So they're very supportive. They're just, of course, as parents, want to look out for my safety and things of that nature. Right. But they're amazing.
That's awesome. I know a few women who are trying to get into, or they're wanting to tap into like the sex work industry, but I often hear about, like, even like in the group chat that I have, I often hear about women having hesitation or kind of like reservations because they're afraid their parents might find out. They're afraid that, you know, like grandmothers or like grandfathers, parentals basically would find out what they're doing. And it kind of keeps them from wanting to do it, even though it's something that they're genuinely interested in pursuing. Mm-hmm. So how would you, what would be the best advice that you could give someone who is trying to explain to their parents that they are interested in becoming a sex worker?
Oh God. That's kind of hard to answer because sex work is not really something that's accepted.
Right.
I can only tell people that they know their parents best, that they know what situations they grew up in. They know what they can handle mentally. I really go into that with caution because it can go one or two ways. You can have mm-hmm. your parents fully supportive, or you can be potentially kicked out and disowned. So it's kind of hard to, you know, try to tell someone or try to push someone to have that conversation with their parents. I would feel like it's just something that they really have to be comfortable with.
Right.
And they really have to have, you know, some sort of backup plan in place if something happens. Like, okay, well, if they're accepting, which route am I going? If they're not accepting, which route am I going? So you really just have to gauge each situation.
Right. Well, I hope ladies, I hope you guys are listening because they have asked me that question and I'm like, I am the most ignorant person like to ask because I feel like you need to ask an actual sex worker, whatever they're doing is sexual, whether it's a sexual nature or non-sexual. I'm like, that is a person that would have like a vast knowledge on how it's handled if they are a person who's told their parents. So right. I definitely didn't want to touch that subject, but I know that's a question that I've gotten a lot in the past. So thank you for answering that. I hope you guys who are listening, who are interested, men and women who are interested in going into sex work, I hope you take that advice and use it cautiously. All right. So again, I'm a fan. Like, I'm going to keep saying that. Like, I'm such a fan because I love you. I have seen you post on Instagram. Like, you posted this awesome TikTok about being a sugar baby. So mm-hmm. I wanted you to give us an idea of what it's like to be a dominatrix and a sugar baby. Like, I have a few questions that I want to ask you, but do you ever have to be submissive in the sugar baby role, or how are you balancing the two of being like a sugar baby if you're not being submissive and being a dominatrix?
So I consider myself a sugar dom. So I've kind of created my own lane of letting these sugar daddies know that I am dominant and being upfront about that I am into kinks and things of that nature. So it always works out perfectly when I find a rich sponsor or a sugar daddy that's also submissive. It just, everything just works out in its own way with that. So, you know, I usually have situations in that manner. So it usually just works out in my favor.
I love that. A sugar dom.
Yeah.
That is, you've definitely paved your own lane there, because that's not even like, I guess I'm so like, I'm such a stickler, and I'm just like, I know roles and titles can be bent and they can be created for people. That never even occurred to me, because I guess like I could identify as a submissive, and in my mind I'm just like, do you have to be, you don't have to be submissive to be like a sugar baby. Like, so I just wanted to know, and I know with your personality and just you professionally, I know that you're very dominant. So I just always wondered how it worked to do, and you're doing both. And I find that to be perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. It works out like amazingly.
That's amazing. Yeah. So is it just, okay, so with you having submissives, are they also like, so are you a sugar dom to just only your submissives, or are there outside men or women that are providing as well?
So there's usually outside men providing. So it's not always submissive clients that I'm necessarily talking to. It could be someone that I'm seeing or dating or going on sugar dates with that's not exactly a client.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you see, are there any pros and cons to being a sugar dom? Like, well, are there any cons to being, because it seems like they're all pros, but are there any, is there a downside to being a pro dom? Like, have you ever encountered any men who were expecting the submissiveness before you had the chance to like fully, or do, I mean, you probably fully explained prior to, but do they still expect you just to bend a little bit because like it's a sugaring situation?
Oh, for sure. I always get like right off the bat, even when I'm talking online or chatting online before I meet them, I always get, you know, messages about, oh, I'm dominant. I know you said that you're into kink, but I'm not a sub. Like, it just, they come in right away with their demands, and usually those people I just block.
Ah, gotcha. I had a feeling. Yeah. They're pretty much a telltale. I've encountered a few. I'm like, just because you see like my podcast doesn't mean you can just be like, oh, well, I'm a dom. I'm like, okay.
Right, yeah.
And?
Yeah. Like, that's the bad part about it. Like, they automatically assume that you're going to be into something.
So I'm not going to say what I want to say, because everyone always says I attack men. So I don't attack men. It's just men do the most sometimes. So I'm just going to leave it there.
I love attacking men. Why not? For real.
Yes. So I know you just mentioned like dating outside of like the profession. So in your dating life, do you consider yourself to be vanilla? Like a little, do you have like a little sprinkle of vanilla there, or is it 24/7 kinky?
I'm not a lifestyle dom, so I don't consider myself to be 24/7.
Okay.
I definitely have vanilla aspects. So I consider myself 50% vanilla, 50% kinky.
Okay.
Only because being kinky wasn't always my life, and it's not something that I just switched into and was like, that's it. This is all I'm going to be for the rest of my life. So I like to have different,
yes,
you know, dynamics to me and things of that nature. So I'm definitely have some vanilla aspects. But men I'm dating, especially ones that I'm really into, I be a switch.
That was going to actually be my next question. I promise you, I'm looking at my notes now, and I was going to ask you if you were dominant in your relationship, in your romantic relationships primarily, or did you consider yourself a switch? So, because like most of us, we weren't born into this lifestyle. It was something that a lot of us adapted later on in life when we realized that it was like a part of our sexual purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a question, like, how easy is it for you to go into being submissive? Like I said, you started out, you didn't start out in a lifestyle. So the vanilla aspect is there, and that's not necessarily vanilla, but how easy is it for you to transition into being dominant to submissive?
With someone I'm really into, it's easy as 1, 2, 3. I mean, in the bedroom, it's easy to be submissive. I'm still very much so dominant in my values and what I like and things of that nature. And mm-hmm. like how I go about taking charge, but Definitely in a bedroom, it's not that hard for me personally.
So why? Okay, so I wholeheartedly understand the bedroom. What makes it a difficult transition outside of the bedroom?
I think because naturally I just like to put my foot down and, like, you know, tell people what I need and what I want. You know, I've always been that way since I was a child. I've always been the one that kind of, like, talked back and got in trouble and things of that nature. So it's harder for me to be submissive in my regular everyday life, especially because I take so much control in my everyday life running my own business. I'm a businesswoman, I'm a boss babe, whatever you want to call it. So so it's like harder to be like, no, I'm just going to listen and let them say what they want to say to me. Like, it's not that easy.
Gotcha. And I mean, that's a lot of women in today's world, especially as a lot of us become entrepreneurs and women are becoming their own bosses, or either they're just dominating in their field where they are a boss. Like, it's very hard to just be like, you know what, I'm just going to let you take the reins, especially when you're so well, like, you do so well at controlling your own life and managing your own life, and it's working out well for you. It's very hard to take a back seat and allow someone to lead, because you're leading yourself in the right direction anyway. So that trust there is, that's another topic for another day. Okay. Now, I know you said romantically you consider yourself a switch. Have you ever had any clients ask you to switch for them? Like, as like maybe just a form of role play for the night?
Nope.
No. Yes. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah. Which I didn't, I mean, it's just, it was one of my curious questions. I'm like, I highly doubt it. Just like seeing like you in action and everything, I'm like, I doubt it, but I was just curious to know.
Gotcha.
Okay. So the last question I have for you, like I said, I was going to keep it as quick as possible. In your words and your advice, any women who, or men, or women, well, women, we're not going to talk about men right now because we don't want to. Women looking to get into, what would be your advice for any women looking to get into the sex industry or financial domination?
Make sure you know why you want to get into this industry. I always tell people, don't get into this industry at times of desperation or times of, you know, something you're going through, or if you're going through any type of mental health problems, to just, you know, be careful of what you're going into, because this industry is not for the lighthearted. There are a lot of people in this industry that won't look out for your best interest. There's a lot of mental strength that comes with this industry. So I just always say, do your research. Definitely try to find community, whether that's through FetLife, online through Twitter, Instagram, going to workshops, just try to connect with people in community so that you aren't coming into this alone. Like someone like me that came into this alone, it was hard to kind of grasp on, you know, what to do and what not to do. And, you know, just overall, you know, really just stay true to yourself. I know in the sex industry or the sex work industry, we see a lot of competition. We see that so-and-so is doing this porn, so-and-so is selling this service, so-and-so's OnlyFans has this. So we try to, sometimes we compare ourselves and feel like we're in competition, when in my opinion, it should always be collaboration and not competition.
I absolutely agree. Yeah. So I saved this part, and that's like, I feel like this is a good segue. You just talking about like finding your community and, you know, educating yourself and understanding why you want to do it. So I wanted the end of the episode to be you telling us about all of your ventures, Black Dom Sorority. I know you have the Sex Academy. You talked about Black and Kinky at the beginning and the Goddess Brunch. So I just wanted you to just give like a brief rundown of each of those, because I know, like, again, I've had listeners like come to me and ask questions, and I point them straight to your Instagram or straight to your Twitter so they can either like reach out to you or like look at your insight and tell them what you have going on. So I wanted you to just give us like a brief, like little quick little synopsis for each, so they can get an idea. That way you guys, ladies, you know who you are. All the ladies who have asked me about Mistress Marley. Mm-hmm. Now you will actually get the opportunity to hear it from Mistress Marley. So if you will, please.
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at Eyes on Fire, Eyes like your eyes, EYESX on Fire. On Instagram right now, because I just had 3 pages deleted. And
they will not let you be great. I'm sorry.
I just had 3 pages deleted in less than 72 hours. So I'm kind of hesitant about Instagram, but if you must find me up there, it's Mistress Marley _ for now, as of right now at 7:33.
Oh my goodness.
But I say the best bet is to follow me on Twitter, because on Twitter I can post anything and there's more updates and there's more engagement there. I am also on Patreon at the Sex Academy. So it's patreon.com/sex, S-E-X Academy, C-A-D-E-M-Y. You can sign up for $5 a month. I teach everything from dom work, OnlyFans work, sex work, sugaring, anything you can think of. There's over hundreds of courses up there. And then I'm also the founder of Black Dom Sorority, which you can find us on Instagram, Black Dom, D-O-M-M-E, Sorority. We are having summer inductions in late August, so get your applications in for that if you want to be considered. There's an application link in our bio. And I'm also on OnlyFans. So onlyfans.com/Marley the Goddess. That's Marley the Goddess, G-O-D-D-E-S-S.
Well, Mistress Marley, thank you so much. Thank you for telling us everything that you have going on. Ladies, if you're interested, this is definitely, I'm always going to tell you that she is literally like the blueprint. This is where you want to start. So she's just told you everything. Hop on her Patreon, hop on her OnlyFans. Like, if you're interested in the Black Dom Sorority, which I know a few of you are because you've mentioned it to me in the group chat, this is definitely your sign to do so. I want to thank you so much. I know this has been in the making, but I want to thank you so much for being a guest. Like, this means so much to me. I'm so excited for this episode.
Oh, thank you.
And you guys, thank you all for listening. You have been wonderful. I know you guys are so excited. I can't wait to get all these DMs once you guys hear who the guest is of this week. But as always, you guys can follow me on Twitter, Kinks with Kiki. You can also follow me on Instagram at Kinks with Kiki Podcast. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, you want to tell me something, you can definitely email me at kinkswithkiki@gmail.com. I will be opening up the group chat again. Right now we have 50 lovely ladies, and I'm thinking of adding about 20 more. I am sorry, men. This is not for you. Like I've been saying with this group chat for the last year, this really is a safe space for women to talk about everything they want to talk about without fear of judgment or predatory behavior. Not assuming that all of you are predators, but again, just want to be safe. Mistress Marley, thank you again. I appreciate you so much for giving me your time.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad we finally got to do
this. Me too.
Well, the universe always brings people together eventually, so that's all that matters.
Yes, that is all that matters. Thank you guys again for listening. And as always, I am your dose of Black girl in this kinky ass world. And until next time, peace.